You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Are you tired of listening to me, Flames fans? I'm kind of tired of listening to myself talk. Today's show, we listen to what the fans think. Welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 78, as we cruise through a weird time of year to have an off-season. It's October 25th, 2020, and we are right in the middle of the off-season, hoping to have hockey back soon. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you with us on Flames Unfiltered. Winter, yep, it is here, it is here, it is here. And the hockey news is starting to dwindle. We're getting some signings here and there, but nothing of a huge amount of importance, although I like these last few signings that our general manager, Brad Treliving, has done. But we're all waiting for that big trade news from whatever team it is, and we're striving for hockey news. It's hockey season, and it is so weird that this time of year we're sitting here talking about signings and trades and not hockey. Nothing is normal right now. We're learning to adapt. We're learning to live with it the best we can. Man, I pray for some normalcy real soon, and I also pray that people are safe and that we can get back to hockey real quick. It's been a big weekend around my house. My middle child, Kennedy, turned 11 years old. Good little daddy's girl, likes to go to hockey games with me and loves her gymnastics and volleyball. And happy birthday, Kennedy. We had a nice little party around the house here last night. She had some friends over, and yeah, it was a good weekend. But I miss not watching hockey on the weekends. Yeah, it just doesn't seem right. Fun this week to see Brad Treliving add some names to the roster and some good key depth signings as far as I am concerned. And it's been fun watching this roster come together. It's been interesting. And I feel like there's a trade coming. I know. I guess we'll see. But yeah, let's dive into some Flames talk in another episode. And yeah, this is the final episode of season one of Flames Unfiltered. It's been a great year, really enjoyable year. I've really liked doing this podcast, and I appreciate each and every one of the fans that listen. So I thought, since the fans are the most important part of this podcast, let's get a few of them on the show. And I know many of you are probably tired of listening to me rant for an hour about the Flames. I know my wife and kids get tired of me ranting and talking hockey all the time. So I thought, let's get a fan episode going. I got three fans to join the show today. All of them are great, great Flames fans. They know their stuff. And I'll ask them five pressing questions about the Flames offseason and what lies ahead for the Flames. Some great interviews, interesting, fun. Always good to hear from what the fans think. Then we'll roll into a jam-packed version of Flames News. And yeah, lots of things happening in Flames news. And usually in the offseason, we don't have much, but we got some signings to talk about today. Thanks for joining us on Flames Unfiltered. I'm truly appreciative of each and every one of you for listening, subscribing, and reaching out and interacting with me. It's been a great season one.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right, Flames fans, we're going to do things a little bit different on this episode, and I hope you guys all enjoy listening to this. What I've done is I've brought in three Flames fans who I interact with on Facebook groups or through the Hockey Podcast Network or all over the place. But three great guys. I got Dylan Simpson, Ian Kelly, and Nate Thomas on. And I will pose five questions to them, talk a little bit of Flames hockey, and listen to what the fans think. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, Dylan Simpson. You can check him out on Flames Hub. He is one of the most active contributors to that Facebook group. And you know what, Flames fans, you got to check it out. Flames Hub is a great spot to network with other Flames fans. I'm on there all the time, and great group of guys. And Dylan's very, very active on that. And I know he listens to the show, and we're happy to have him joining us. Welcome, Dylan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, no, it should be a lot of fun. What we're going to do is there's kind of – I kind of came up with five burning questions that are on Flames fans' minds as we head into offseason and or as we are in offseason and hopefully out of offseason sooner rather than later. And I just want to bounce these questions off you and see what your opinions are and what your ideas for the Flames are as we prepare for a hockey season, hopefully sooner rather than later. Question number one,
absolutely.
Dylan, are you ready?
I am ready.
What is your favorite offseason move thus far?
I mean, it's hard not to go with the big one, I think, with Markstrom. It's been a big hole in the team for a lot of years. Everyone likes to say since Kiprusoff, and that's probably true. But, you know, against Dallas, our defense was very suspect. We have a lot of great young offensively-minded defense and a lot of good guys that are learning how to be better on the defensive side of the puck. And I think that Tanev will be big for that. He has been a good mentor for kids in the past. So
you know,
I'm pretty excited about that, too.
You know, when I thought of this question, my first thing, just like your answer, was obviously Markstrom. You know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. One thought I've had here in the last couple of weeks is, let's say Markstrom gets off to what we would consider a shaky start.
Yep.
Are we going to throw down the, oh, no, he can't handle pressure quotes in Calgary, or are we going to be able to understand that Jacob Markstrom is human? He has proven over a 2.5-year period to be a top-end goalie in this league, and are we just going to let him be that, or are we going to put so much pressure on him here in this market that the big contract and the term on that, it will just weigh too much?
That's a good question because, you know, I think that happens to a lot of goalies, especially goalies I find in Canadian markets. But, you know, I think, first of all, I don't think he will, but if he does, the thing is we often forget Rittich is a all-star goalie. I mean, yeah, he was, you know, voted in after somebody else. I can't even remember who.
Was it
Markstrom?
I think it was Markstrom.
Yeah, that wasn't able to go. But anyways, yeah, they, you know, we have a really solid 1A, 1B that's actually, you know, a bona fide number one starter and, you know, pretty good starter as well. So I think we have a guy who can take over and let Markstrom kind of settle into his position if need be. There are, you know, there's always going to be some fans who point the finger right away if somebody gets off to a rough start. And, you know, I think I've probably been that guy sometimes, but, I think we're so bona fide at that position right now. It's
for the first time in a long time, I feel real comfortable with the goaltender position. I have full faith that that Jacob Markstrom will do well and will be able to perform to the ability he was in Vancouver. Let's roll on to question two. And how would you grade Brad Treliving's offseason thus far?
I mean, coming off day one, I was going with A++. day one of the off season.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I I think both contracts with Tanev and Markstrom were fair and good for both the player and the team. And, yeah, I would agree. Now, Brad Treliving's been very active here in the last couple of weeks, also with some other what many people would consider minor signings, and I don't really look at them as minor. How do you like those signings?
I think it's important to have depth, and that's what he's done. Now, our depth, not, you know, after the actual lineup, but our depth as far as the third and fourth line last year actually was pretty darn good, I'd have to say. But we lost a couple of them. And, you know, Nordstrom's going to be a good PK type of guy to kind of help replace what we lost with Reeder, and nothing's going to replace the shorthanded prowess of that man, but he'll help. And Levo, you know, I've paid some attention to him in the past, and he's always shown some good good potential, I suppose. Now, I don't think he's going to hop up into the top six unless there's, you know, a big injury and Bennett doesn't step up or something like that.
No, but I don't think we got him for that either. And, you know,
Absolutely not.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you don't get an $875,000, I think, guy for top 6 minutes. That's just not how it works on free agency anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I think Levo brings a lot to the table, and we'll add that depth that I don't want to say – I can't say the Flames have lacked depth. Actually, I bragged about the depth all year on our bottom six, and quite honestly, our bottom six is probably our best six in the postseason. So I like our depth and the additions of Levo and Nordstrom and all those all help solidify it at a great price tag. So I really like what Brad Treliving has done so far in the offseason, and we'll see. I think there's still more moves to be made. I really do believe that.
I agree. There's been a lot of depth signings of guys such as Nesterov and Levo and guys who can play 82 games if they need to. But, you know, that leads me to believe that there's guys getting moved out. I'm almost thinking that Brad's trying to find a two-for-one type of deal. I'm not going to say what I think that is because there's a couple of different thoughts in my mind about that. But, yeah, I think that's where we are with how many NHL-ready people we have and how many prospects we have coming up.
Yeah, I would agree. Question number three, is Jeff Ward the best choice for head coach?
Honestly, I don't think that there is one. I've said for a long time, I think this team needs a Tortorella-type guy. Is Jeff Ward that guy? No. And I don't mean Tortorella himself, but I mean somebody who demands a lot and holds players accountable and is vocal about it. However, I think Jeff Ward is good for the team right now, for sure, because the players like playing under him. But I think one of the problems and one of the reasons why we wanted to a lot of the fans anyways felt it was time to shake the core up is because this core loses coaches. I find after about between half a season and a full season, for the most part, and actually Peters was the only one that hasn't, but this core loses coaches. All of the coaches pretty much they've had after about half a year.
Yeah. Let's talk about that core a little bit. And question number four is, should the core, i.e. Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, be altered?
That's a hard one. I think so. I think, how many chances do we get with the same guys? Does that mean moving one of them out? Maybe not. Maybe it means giving them less of a responsibility and giving somebody else the chance to show leadership. And I honestly think that one of those things is, could be giving Tkachuk first line minutes and giving him the C before Giordano's done. And I don't think that would be a slap in the face to Giordano. I think that would be kind of a passing of the torch type of thing. But
I think we're probably a year away from that discussion in my mind. I think Giordano's a great captain. But as I and me and you have talked about the core numerous times. If you listen to the show at all, everybody knows my opinion. I think it's time to move on from Johnny Gaudreau. We're going to lose him for nothing at the end of next year. I'm 100%, I shouldn't say that, I'm 95% sure of that. If we re-sign him, can we justify giving him even what he's making right now? I mean, Flames fans got to look in the mirror here and ask a really serious, serious question. Are we in Calgary happy with this team just making the playoffs, or do we actually want to win a Stanley Cup? And if we want to win a Stanley Cup, is Johnny the Gaudreau the guy that's going to throw this team on his back and win us a Stanley Cup?
No. That being said, again, I think Tkachuk could be. I think Johnny would be is obviously a great first line winger, but I think he would be more suited to second line minutes and just.
But even as a second line making what he's making, don't we need to have him produce?
Absolutely. He needs to produce in the playoffs. He had a down year this year, obviously.
He had a down year the last 2 years, though.
Didn't he get 99 points the year before?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking playoffs. I think he's fine in the regular season.
For sure.
But he's a disappearing act in the playoffs. And yeah, I loved his 99 points. I thought it was wonderful. But then in the playoffs, he backs it up with a freaking no-show against Colorado. I mean, we can't have – our stars need to be stars in the postseason, right? If we're going to win a cup.
Absolutely. The entire way through, they need to be. And that includes the postseason. But to me, it also includes the regular season. We don't have many players on our team that do both. We have – this young guy that everybody's loving in Bennett that I'm not sold on because he only shows up in the postseason. He never 82 useless games followed by some really good games in the playoffs. We need a group of guys that
go
all the way through.
Don't you think though, Dylan? Okay, I'm with you on the Sam Bennett thing, but here's how I'm going to defend him though. I think it's easier to teach a guy to get better in the regular season and put him at center where he belongs, in my mind, than it is to teach a guy to have heart all of a sudden when the playoffs come.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I don't know that. I mean, is Sam Bennett the answer? I don't know. Is he what we expected when we drafted him? No, I don't think so. But we need to maybe take that, crumple it up in a ball, throw it in the garbage, and get Sam Bennett to be three quarters of what he is in the postseason, all season, and then have him be that in the postseason, and I'll give him $6 million a year.
Yeah. And you see, my thing is with the draft is draft rankings mean nothing to me after the draft is done, pretty much. Yeah, sure, I'll bring up Yakupov. That's not really what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about, like, guys like Gaudreau. Mm-hmm. Was Gaudreau at all what we expected when we got him? 104th?
No, he wasn't at all. He was a brilliant surprise that we paid $6 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, you know, if we were paying him like a seventh-round pick, I'd be fine with the way he plays in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not, I hate to be like so down on Gaudreau, but I'm not writing him off, but I was 100% on board with Gaudreau at the beginning of the last season saying, all right, this dude gets one more chance with me. And he showed me nothing. And he showed me nothing. And that's disappointing and disheartening. And now I sit and watch and we like, he's going to enter free agency next year. Not this season, but the following season, I'm like, can we afford to lose this guy for nothing?
Well, that's what I that's what I'm saying as well when it comes to I don't want to trade Gaudreau because he's not a good player. I don't want to trade Gaudreau because he's not producing in the playoffs. I want to trade Gaudreau because, and people will argue this because he said it when he was younger, and maybe his thoughts have changed, and he said other things since, but, you know, he doesn't really want to play in the West. He doesn't really want to play in Canada. Can I say that decisively? No, but I think it's pretty common knowledge, or at least common assumption. And no, I'm tired of having great players leave Calgary and getting nothing back.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. With, I don't know. I still think something's coming, but maybe I'm totally delusional on this one. But I feel like there's some moves coming. Now, let's talk about the season coming up here. And when do you think and how will the 2020-2021 season start? Will we have fans? Will we not have fans? Will we have a Canadian division? No Canadian division? And when do you think we'll get the go to start?
Okay. It is that's a loaded question. I would hope I can't say really when I think it's going to happen. I would hope January at the latest, you know, mid-January at the latest, but I can't really answer that question.
No, it's tough. I'm not.
In all honesty, I can't answer that question.
Do you think we will? Do you think? Okay. Well, here's a variation of it. Can the NHL afford to play without fans?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't think. I think there's numerous franchises that you just can't. You just can't afford to play without that revenue.
Well, look how many times the NHL has had to give. Let's just call them Phoenix for effect in this specific conversation, but bailouts.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. It's a real problem and something that really is going to be make this whole comeback interesting. And I just pray that we do get to see hockey here in January and we can come back with some fans in the building. That wouldn't be probably the...
I do as well. I'd be terrified to see the tickets... You know, the ticket prices. But
I think ticket prices, honestly, if we can have full arenas, I think ticket prices will go down.
Okay.
Because they're going to need to get the seats filled.
Yeah, but I don't think, for me anyways, I don't see it happening that they will have full arenas. If they do have fans, I see it being so few and far between that it will only be the people who really can't afford.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right.
A whole bunch of money in order to go.
Yeah, no, I'm. That's probably the most realistic approach to it. It'll be interesting, but I just hope we get some hockey back here, and we got all these great new players. I want to see how they do.
Me too. I'm excited to see. There's been a lot of changes, and there's been a lot of. Couple guys I'm pretty sad to see go. I've been a big Brody fan for a long time, and I'm we're gonna miss his pinches and his foot speed and his throwing defenders off by being behind the net all the time. But
I think we're gonna like though. I think we're gonna like what Tanev brings to the table.
Oh, 100%. But I think Tanev fills the Hamonic hole.
And yep, I agree with that.
It has yet to be seen who fills the Brody hole.
Valimaki.
We can hope.
Oh,
we can hope.
He's doing wonderful over in Finland, and it's really great to see. But
sure is. I've been watching some highlights, and he has that golden helmet as the team's leading scorer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's leading all defensemen, you know, over there in points. So that's a great sign.
It's absolutely a great sign, and he's obviously a really good prospect for us, and we can hope that he gets the minutes he deserves and doesn't go down again. That's my biggest worry with him is when you miss so much time as a young guy, as a guy who's just trying to get into the best league in the world, you can easily lose a lot of confidence and a lot of just progression and learning time when you're that young.
Yeah, it's tough.
But it looks like he's doing pretty good over there, so I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Time will tell with him, but yeah, I have a lot of hopes, and I have a lot of high hopes, and I think he'll have a real good breakout year this year for the Flames. Dylan, great talking with you. I love having you on the show. I was excited when I wanted to put this listener episode together, and it's good to touch base with you because I know you're one of the faithful listeners, and I talk to you all the time on Flames Hub, and hopefully we can catch up again on the podcast in the near future.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now all the way from Dublin, Ireland, Ian Kelly joins me. Met him on Flames Hub, another good Flames fan, all the way overseas. And Ian, great to have you on the show. I always love talking hockey with Flames fans. And how in the world did you become a Flames fan?
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure to be on your show, so thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a strange one. It's funny because some of the guys now who probably know me from being in the Flames kind of asked the same question, but you don't really ever get any context from texts, so now they'll hear why. I got into hockey in around 1994. I was only about 10 years old, and the story is really funny, as we talked about off air. I got into pro wrestling later in life, but I was always a huge pro wrestling fan. And in particular, Calgary's own Bret the Hitman Hart. And so what happened was, I was reading one of the old kind of fan magazines back in the day, and I saw Bret Hart talking about hockey all the time. You know, that was his favorite sport. Yeah. If he wasn't a wrestler, he would love to be a hockey player. And basically, my uncle had a really good friend who he used to come down, and he happened to have a copy of the NHL 94 from EA Sports on the Sega Mega Drive.
Oh, yeah. I played a lot of that in my day.
Oh, hell yeah. So it was like, this is a breakaway from our version of soccer. Football is our kind of big sport over here. And I remember asking him, I was like, he said, you're going to have to pick a team now. And I said, well, Bret Hart's from Calgary. Does Calgary have a team? And he's like, believe it or not, they actually do, the Calgary Flames. So I was like, well, I assume that's who Bret Hart follows, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Calgary Flames, and that was my team. Joe Nieuwendyk was the guy. He was my guy straight away, purely because he was the guy who scored all the goals in the game.
Yeah, he was a big guy, wasn't he? Good big center for us.
Oh, hell yeah. And so, yeah, I instantly became hooked. And what happened then was, you know, to get away from the game itself, I actually realized that we had the NBC Super Channel over here in Ireland at the time, which would show all American sports. And it was on a Saturday. And I always remember very vividly, it was like WCW World Championship Wrestling was on at like 3 o'clock till 4. And then from 4 p.m. till about 6 p.m., you had the NBC. So they would show like pretty much extended highlights of most of the games, but you'd always see all of the goals as well. And I remember at the time, you know, Gretzky had obviously been doing really well with the Kings, and I was like, but Jaromir Jagr, I was like, oh, if there's one guy I could get, it'd be Jagr. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
And eventually we did, which is funny, I suppose.
That is funny.
But yeah, it was really cool, and it was really eye-opening. I kind of started to learn the sport at a young age, which is kind of cool. And it's funny enough, we used to have rollerblades over here, so mm-hmm. I used to get a lot of the guys into roller hockey because we don't have ice rinks over here.
Yeah.
I used to buy like really cheap kid sets, you know, with the pucks, and we'd be literally playing it over tarmac and gravel. It was like, you know, we got really into it. But yeah, that's how I became a Flames fan. And then it's funny because later in life I heard that Bret Hart wasn't even a Flames fan; he was an Oilers fan. But since changed his opinion, he's a season ticket holder of the Flames now. So he obviously went back to his hometown eventually. But yeah, that's I suppose it is an interesting story and a very strange one, how you become such a devoted Flames fan through that. You know what I mean? It's a very different way than a lot of you guys, and the reason you guys became Flames fans, because Are you from Calgary originally?
No, I'm actually I'm from North Dakota actually. So I have an equally odd story for becoming a Flames fan, but you know it's funny how other sports and just situational things will draw you to different sports. And for you to be over in Ireland, where I mean I'm assuming hockey isn't real prevalent over there, for you to take a liking to the sport and to watch it as faithfully as you do now and to follow the team like you do now, it's pretty cool. I mean we're recording this at 9 o'clock right now, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning there, so Ian was nice enough to stay up extra late tonight to join the show, and we really appreciate that. And always fun to catch up with Flames fans, but to get to meet Flames fans that are overseas and understand why they became Flames fans, and for you to carry that love of the Flames from a Sega Genesis 94 game all the way to staying up late now watching almost every game, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was my pleasure to stay up. But yeah, it's I guess it's a loyalty thing as well. When you do get infatuated with a sports team, and I think we can speak universally for sports fans all around the world, whether it be rugby, whether it be American football, college football, or soccer. It's once it's in your DNA and you kind of allow it to kind of seep into your soul, I suppose. You just become a fan for life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you kind of take I don't really take breaks from it, but I know some fans that take breaks from their sports for a while because they get too intense. For me, it's great, and I just think hockey fans don't actually get a lot of the credit that they deserve. We always hear about basketball and football, and whereas I think ice hockey is a really intense love and passion from the fans, you know what I mean? And I mm-hmm. think that's probably something that a lot of people don't understand because they don't understand the game. But it's also a very intriguing game to a lot of people from the outside because they just think of it as, big, 200-plus-pound guys fighting each other on the ice. And they kind of just see that side of it and go, well, I like looking at fights, so I'll just watch the fight videos. But, that's generally the casual, observation from a lot of uneducated fans, I suppose, or the uneducated opinion, I suppose, it would be. But yeah, 100%. The Flames was my team. I tried to look. You always appreciate other teams.
Yeah.
Like I would have an appreciation for the Sharks. I don't know why. I just like the Sharks. I think they're. A lot of times you look at a jersey and be like, oh, that's a really nice jersey. I love that logo, or I love a certain player. I think that's what's really cool about American sports and Canadian sports in general, because you guys over there can be a Flames fan, but if you would have no problem, not saying you specifically, but some people would have no problem wearing a different jersey as well if it's a nice jersey, which is mm-hmm. you wouldn't get that over here in Europe. If you're a football fan, it's like, there's no way you wear a jersey from another team because you'd be crucified.
Well, you're not catching me in an Edmonton or Vancouver jersey, I can tell you that one.
No, right hell now. No. Me neither. But you know what? If you give me a nice Sharks jersey to wear for a day, I might throw it out. Maybe Tampa Bay.
I don't hate Tampa Bay. The San Jose, I have a lot of respect for that franchise just because when they came in, I was a younger kid, and seeing that jersey, I agree with you. It was like, whoa, like this is cool. And I remember getting a San Jose Sharks sweatshirt, and I know Flames fans are going to freak at me for saying that, but I remember getting one, and it was a cool logo, and that franchise has done just about everything besides win a cup, and I mean, I have the utmost respect for the longevity, and I got a feeling they're going to go on a bad run now because they got a lot of bad contracts, but that franchise is definitely one I respect also.
And listen, don't kill me or Brad, because we don't wear those jerseys. We're just saying appreciate the look of certain things.
Now, if you just said you liked Edmonton, Ian, I'd have been like, all right, we got to get this done quick.
No, love for Edmonton. I'm not a fan.
What's really cool, though, about hockey, and then we'll get on to the five questions I got for you today, but...
Sure.
I have like one of the greatest relationships. I mean, one of my best friends is a Canucks fan, so we go back and forth. And I also have a great relationship with the guys that run the Edmonton Oilers podcast called Oil Country. And John and Kyle are the greatest guys, and they are diehard Oilers fans, and they hate the Flames. But some of my most fun I've ever had on a podcast is visiting with those two guys. They're top-notch guys, and it's so fun to have that rivalry. And I think that's what's so great about sports is being able to banter back and forth and to enjoy a sport together, but enjoy different teams and hate the other team. I think that's I think that's what makes sports so damn fun.
It is, because you got to have if you've got a passion for it and you've got a loyalty to your team, then of course you're going to hate, you know, the local team or the team that probably historically is a little bit more successful than you. I got a question for you and maybe your listeners too. Let's play fantasy here for a moment. I'm going to give you two choices of two centers. I don't want to see who you pick.
Okay.
McDavid or McKinnon? Who you got?
I would take...
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. You know, I respect the hell out of Connor McDavid. And when he winds it up and he gets going, you know, it's a sight to see. And I love having both of them on my team. But there's something about the way McKinnon can take over a game. And two years ago when he I just feel like, in game two of that playoff series, I just feel like McKinnon was just like, screw this, I'm not losing, we're winning this series, and he just put that whole team on his shoulders and freaking kicked Calgary's ass. And I just, ever since then, I'm just like in awe of watching that guy play. I think I would take McKinnon.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm the same. He probably, in my opinion, I think he's the... He's the guy. Like, I think he's the best in the world at the moment. I know a lot of people say that McDavid is, but I actually do think, and I think that's what separates McKinnon from everybody, because obviously they've got Draisaitl, and you know, look, on paper, Edmonton have an absolutely ridiculous team. You know,
I think
McKinnon,
if Edmonton
can do what Gretzky done, McKinnon can do what Gretzky did. He can just say, right, like you said, I'm taking this, and I'm. You know, I'm bringing this home. So I just thought it'd be a fun question for you.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. NHL 21 is out now, so I mean, guys, if you want McKinnon on your team, I don't know whether I don't know how you're going to get him. I think you're probably going to have to give a lot of first round picks and maybe money. But I do love money. I find it very hard not to. You know, when I see a lot of I'm a money guy over Gaudreau personally.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think Gaudreau. I think you might have mentioned this in one of your shows as well. You know, I know he says he loves Calgary. And he'd happily. I don't believe that's the case personally. But I don't think he's disrespectful enough to really push for a move away either. I think, like you say, he's probably going to wind down, let his contract wind down, and then he'll be out of there. But I think Money is a guy that I think can be better with a better line around him.
I think Monahan definitely has the tools to be good. I've talked about it numerous times. This is one of my questions, and we'll just kind of dive right into that. But I like Sean Monahan. I get frustrated with Sean Monahan too, but I think we've kind of put him in the wrong position. I think he's a number two center in this league, a really, really good number two center. I don't know that he. That we're playing fair, having him as our number one guy and putting those expectations on him. And I'm not trying to be soft on him. I'm just saying that I don't think he's as talented as, you know, to hold that role as a number one center. And as for Johnny Gaudreau, I'm with you. I think he's going to sign somewhere else when he becomes a free agent. So I think we need to cut our ties there and get something for him now. Yes, I know his value is really low right now, but it kind of is what it is. He kind of earned that value, didn't he? I mean, when you can't produce in the playoffs, your value is not going to be high. So I don't know, and I guess this is one of the questions that I wanted to touch base with you is, you know, does this core, when I say the core, I mean Gaudreau and Monahan, does that need to be altered?
For me, yeah. I think you could put either of the two into the second line for sure. I mean, I think Chucky's got to be in that front line. So, I mean, if you're going to look at Matthew at his best position, my opinion, it is the left wing. And I think Monty has done enough to maybe earn it, that first line place, just a little bit above Goodrow. You know, you're guaranteed 20-plus goals a season.
Yep.
That's not a bad thing. You know, don't forget, you know, he did miss quite a few games this year. I know he didn't score as many points as he did the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
But he played, you know, maybe 10 games less than he had played the previous year as well. So, I think Matthew Tkachuk could definitely maybe get a little bit more out of Monaghan than, say, keeping Gaudreau in the first line and then maybe moving, I don't know, a Sam Bennett or a Dylan Dubé up to the front line.
Yeah.
I don't think Gaudreau can offer much to them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, in my opinion, and I mean, I don't know whether you agree here, but I think Elias Lindholm didn't really do anything to justify being demoted. I think he'd done a pretty good job.
I personally would like to see Elias Lindholm centering our first line.
That's a good shout. That is actually a pretty good shout. That wouldn't be a bad shout at all. So are you thinking, that's actually interesting. So are you thinking Boudreau left, Lindholm center, and Tkachuk on the right? Or?
No, I honestly, I know there's people, and I haven't put a ton of thought into the lines yet, because quite honestly, our roster is changing every day, which is probably a good thing. But I don't know. I don't know if I would mind Lindholm with Tkachuk on the left and Mangiapane on the right.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, you got your speed with Mangiapane, and you got Lindholm, which in my mind is the best two-way. I should better take that back. One of the best two-way forwards in the league. And then you got Tkachuk, who does pretty much everything, you know. I just think that would be a line that would be effective and warrant the first line minutes in my mind. And it'll be interesting to see. At least we have some options now. And I really like the depth signings that we've had in the last 2 weeks to really solidify that bottom six. Question for you. As for head coach, do you think Jeff Ward is the best choice for head coach of this team?
You know, initially during the playoffs, you know, like most Flames fans, I got extremely frustrated at some of the decisions that Jeff Ward made.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think in the current climate, with obviously salary cap being an issue, and also the Flames historically don't like going for the big names. It's like they don't like throwing the money at the big name coaches. I would have preferred us to get someone. I do believe that he did earn. I do think when you look at the overall season and not just the bubble and how we went out, I do believe that he definitely earned the right to have one more year at least. And the reason I say it's one more year is because I think this is Brad Tree Living's. I think this is, it's do or die for him now. I think he knows that.
I think it's his last kick at the can. I really do. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I think Jeff Ward being given a year, you know, to see if he can kind of, because I think if Trey Living goes, I think Ward goes anyway.
I do too.
You know what I mean?
I do too.
Yeah.
And we've changed coaches so many times. So I've been ultra critical of Jeff Ward, but I've also have respect for him too, and know the situation that he came in wasn't ideal. And hopefully he learned from a couple of the coaching errors I think he made late in the year. But we'll see, and time will tell. As for Brad Treliving, we touched on him just a little bit. How do you think, what letter grade would you give him for his offseason thus far?
For Brad, I'm just looking at here because I have it in front of me. So, I mean, I think the Markstrom signing, dude, I think anybody that's against that, it probably needs to go and get their head checked. I think it's an absolutely genius signing. I really do. I think I can probably speak for you too. I think that would have been the guy that we wanted. That was.
He was in my top two. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm one of the. You know, we brought in people like Markstrom as well for depth and stuff like that. I think we know that. We know that there's going to be the likes of Glenn Godin. I think he's going to come up as well. I think he's going to have a role there. But as far as the actual offseason, Connor Mack. I mean, I was happy with the draft. Initially, I wasn't. I was going crazy. I was like, oh, my God, we were trading up, you know.
I was happy when we were trading down, though, because we were gaining picks. I was like.
I know. I just wasn't sure.
I know.
I wasn't sure. But then when we did get Zary anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So, to be honest with you, I think Brad Treliving probably, you know, I think he's in the top three in terms of how his draft went, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, absolutely. You know, we look at Nesterov, Nordstrom, Tanev is one that I'm really happy with. And I know that a lot of people are kind of...
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it.
He's a heart and soul guy, and that is what this team needs.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, because Giordano, I'll be honest with you, Giordano this season didn't really do a lot for me.
That's fair assessment.
Especially in the playoffs, dude. I mean, I thought he was giving the puck away. He was getting silly sin bins for, like, just trying to puck out a play. And, like, you're like, dude, you're meant to be, you know, the calm head of this team. And I was like, no, that's not captain material. I mean, personally, I don't know if this is going to be controversial or not, but I would personally give Tkachuk the captaincy anyway. That is my...
You're not the first person to tell me that today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that. You're the second person today that's told me that. And I don't know. I kind of slightly disagree. I think Giordano deserves to keep it, but I also think that one of the things we haven't been fair to Giordano is we've been putting him out there in every situation all the time and expecting him to play like he did his Norris year, and we forget how old he is. I think we need to do is lower his responsibilities a little bit, let him be captain, lower his responsibilities a little bit, and, you know, take him off, maybe have him be in the second pairing, not the first pairing, lower his minutes a little bit, ease up on this guy. He's not, 30 anymore, or 28 anymore. He's getting old. And, I think just we need to, like, pull back the reins on him a little bit and let his body perform like it can and take some of that responsibility off him. And I think right now with the way us bringing in Tanev and some of these depth signings on defense, I think we can do that. I think I still would like to have one more, top-end defenseman, but, the cap is the cap. We can't – no team can look at their defense and say they wouldn't like to add another top-four defenseman. So I like our I don't dislike our defense right now. And, everybody – I think you probably agree. Last year was like, wow, this on paper looks amazing. But it wasn't amazing. So what looks amazing on paper doesn't always equal that on the ice. So I like – ours on paper right now looks pretty good, not amazing. Maybe it'll be amazing on the ice. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I mean, I think there's a lot of criticism on the likes of Hanifin, I think unfairly as well. I think you got to let the guy that goes on.
He's 23.
It's like the opposite end of the argument there. We're talking about a guy who's 37 and we're expecting too much from, and then we got a guy who's 23. And we're expecting miracles. I think, without a doubt, Noah Hanifin will be a top four defender. I think he will be. I think he has the potential to be an elite defender for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Balamaki as well.
Oh, I love what I can't wait to watch him this year.
Oh, my good Lord. I cannot wait either. I love Tanev. I've got to be honest, one of my favorite, one of my favorite players without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm kind of looking forward to next season is Rasmus Anderson. I thought he had an absolutely incredible playoff as well. I mean, that guy, he can hit some shots as well. I mean, I think he's a guy that can step up. Again, only 23. Like, look at it. Rasmus Anderson, 23. Hanifin, 23. Valimaki, 22. Tanev, we speak about Tanev like he's the age of, of Giordano. He's only 30.
I know.
I mean... if you can manage, like you said, and I think you're 100% correct, if you can manage the game time of Tanev and Giordano well, my God, I think you can have a really, really good game. I would like some more depth as well in those departments. I agree with you. I think Chillington can step up. I want to have a little bit of faith in Chillington you know. But I think it's also do or die for him.
I do too. As well. I couldn't agree with you more. One final question, Ian, and we'll let you get to bed. When the NHL starts in 2021, this season, I guess.
January is looking like hopefully so.
Yeah. Bad. Do you think that is realistic? And I guess if I told you right now we were going to have a 48-game season, it was going to be a Canadian division, we're going to play only in division, would you be happy?
You know what? I want hockey back. I think at this point I will take whatever we can get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want fans.
I think January is realistic. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the NHL, I'll be honest with you, I think everybody needs to step back and applaud the NHL and how they handled this bubble. They made it look amazing.
They did.
You know, I thought they'd done a really beautiful job on that sort of thing. So I think we always like to, bitch and moan about certain things if it doesn't go our way. But I think the NHL have shown that they've stepped up. I think if they can set up a couple of bubble cities, I think that might be a bit of an issue. I do think that will be a problem. The travel thing is hard to know. We don't know. I mean, in the States, we got this election coming up in November, so we don't know what way the world's going to be even with that.
Yeah.
So it's I do think maybe February might be more realistic. February, mid-February, possibly. But I just can't wait for it to come back. I mean, I think we're ready to go. I really can't wait. I mean, we're picking up signings. I don't think we're going to get many more. I think the signings we're going to get, unless we can make a bumper trade.
I feel like a trade's coming, but I guess time will tell on that one.
What are you thinking, actually, just out of interest, trade-wise? What are you thinking that may be coming?
Well, I look at our roster and I look at where we sit with the cap and we need to free some cap space up. So I would not be shocked if a Gaudreau or Monahan was dealt for a couple young prospects and maybe a mid-tier player, which will freak the hell out of many Flames fans. But I think if we could free up $2 million in cap space, $3 million in cap space, get a middle tier forward and a high end prospect, I think I would be happy.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Philadelphia would still possibly take. I know Philadelphia is kind of where Gaudreau wants to be, but I'm thinking there's definitely a trade to be made with the Flyers somewhere.
Yeah,
they would take it if it was, and they've got a lot of good young prospects. And I also like what I see on the Devils as well. And I know the Devils really want Gaudreau. So I'm thinking there's a couple of decent prospects there as well, mainly in the defensive end with New Jersey.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be a bad thing either because you did say as well that you'd like. I would just prefer Gaudreau to be traded than money. I think we could. I know you're saying a lot of people are freaking out, but I want to try and be the voice of calm here to all the Flames fans, all the way from Dublin. Guys, take a deep breath, because I'm telling you, we could afford to lose Gaudreau more than we can afford to lose money.
I am totally with you, 100%. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think Backlund, Dubé, and Bennett, is that enough? If you're going with that, because like you mentioned, I know you like the idea of Lindholm in center. That's fair enough. I can see that. But again, it's the depth. You know, you're going to be asking a lot more than at the likes of Glenn Gaudin as well if you get rid of a money. Whereas I think we definitely have enough depth on the wings to allow Gaudreau go and let, you know, Chucky step up and be our number one guy there for sure.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I cannot wait to drop the puck and get this hockey season going. Ian, great to have you join Flames Unfiltered. I appreciate you listening each week, and I really appreciate you reaching out to me, and I like talking hockey with you. And let's do this again in the near future.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I would love to come back.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Joining Flames Unfiltered, now a Flames fan. You can also hear him on the Hockey Podcast Network. Yep, he's part of the Quack Report, Anaheim Ducks, but he is a Flames guy. Nate Thomas joins the show now to talk a little bit of Flames hockey.
How's it going, man?
I'm doing good. Good to have you on the show. glad.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been listening to you. What are those many followers, you know, that got you that most listened to on the podcast network? And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I've been enjoying it the whole time too. So
good.
As much as we're I guess coworkers, we're I'm also a fan. So
yeah, no, it's always fun getting to know, you know, not just other guys on the network, but other guys that are, you know, that care and love the same team that you do, and we all think we know and what decisions we should make, you know, for the team and what's best. But it's also nice to get other fans' perspectives and on different things. And I kind of came up with some questions over the past week on kind of five burning questions that are going on in Calgary during the off season. And Nate is going to fill us in on his opinion, and he is a well-educated Flames fan, so I'm looking forward to these responses. Let's get going right away. Question number one, what is your favorite off-season move thus far?
The signing of Jacob Markstrom. Part of that is because I'm a goalie guy, but, you know, looking at that too, I've been one of the that's always been a heavy criticism for me, is we've never had that solid goaltender in net since, what was it, 2003 with Mika Kiprusoff retiring, like 2 weeks before the preseason. And it's just been the carousel of goalies coming through. And there's been some times that it's looked pretty good. I honestly was hoping that Cam Talbot was going to stick around for a little bit, and unfortunately that fell through. But, you know, I'm glad that we were able to get Markstrom there. That's a great pickup. And honestly, I was skeptical when his name kept popping up that we were going for him, because it's not that we aren't in, like, Calgary's not enticing, but we just have never really picked up the big free agent names, right?
Yeah.
In the last couple of years. So, like, I'd say, like, the biggest free agent signing maybe in the last 5 years would have been James Neal, and look how that turned out.
Yeah.
So I was really excited about that Markstrom deal, so.
I agree with you. I thought that was, you know, by far the biggest move, and I agree completely. Since Kiprusoff, it's been trials and tribulations of goaltenders in Calgary. And you know, going back to you said you had the hopes for Cam Talbot, and honestly, I think Cam Talbot really did everything we ever asked him to. And if we'd had him back this year, I wouldn't have been pissed. But a guy that I was really, really fired up when we got him, and I thought he was going to be much better for us, was Jonas Hiller. And that did not.
Yeah.
I was so pumped on that one. I thought I thought he was the ticket for us, and that didn't pan out so well. But
I was pumped with that too. And like in that first year, it did look like it. And then he just, I don't know, it's kind of from what it seemed,
he didn't get a lot of help though either.
Yeah, no, that's true. It was pretty rough goings at that point, but he almost kind of lost interest, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to badmouth or anything like that. Not that I want to, but I know we have permission to talk to him, so we're trying to get him on at some point as well.
That's a good interview.
Yeah, so I got to keep it pretty civil there, but like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, and you know, like, things happen as well. Like as a goaltender myself, you know, it happens for whatever reason. Something might kind of have you just lose confidence or interest or whatnot. But at the same time, in the NHL level, you hope that confidence isn't down that much that, you know, it's severely impacting your play to the point that it's not at the NHL caliber. Unfortunately, I think near the end of Hiller's time there it was, and you could definitely see it in his locker room exit interview. So, yeah, that's still pretty fresh in the mind. So,
yeah, it's funny how goaltenders just—it's so hard to get that key number one guy, and then and what that does for a team too. You know, not just is it going to help having a guy in net that is a, in my mind, a top five goalie in the league in Markstrom. But, you know, you look now, and what is that message for the team, and what confidence does that give the team, and how much does that improve just their level of play, knowing that they got a guy behind them each and every night that can win them the game? So I think it's going to help the whole team immensely. And one question I do have about the Markstrom, and I agree that's the biggest offseason move, but if Markstrom gets out of the gate and struggles, is this fan base in Calgary going to freak out because we're now paying him long-term and big money, and is are our expectations as Flames fans going to be so high for Markstrom that it's almost unachievable?
I almost want to think it's going to be the opposite. We're kind of like right in that middle level of like, you know, we're expecting greatness, but we've also, like I said earlier, like seen the carousel of goalies that it would almost just kind of be, what's the, just like kind of old habit, or I can't think of the term right at this second, but I don't know. It could really kind of go either way. All I know is it's not going to be quite a reaction as if we were Toronto, let's say, and it's going to be an absolute uproar. So I think you'll kind of have a mix of it could either be, you know, just, okay, like just give it time. You know, it's a new team, new system and everything like that, and just kind of find its footing. Or it could very well be, oh, crap, we're spending 6 years, $6 million on this.
Well, I hope it goes good because I'm I choke here. I'm a little bit worried. I know how this fan base can be at times. And, you know, I think Markstrom's definitely capable of, I mean, leading this team to a Stanley Cup. I really believe that. And I hope that if he does get off to a little bit of a rough start just because of expectations and stuff, we aren't just throwing the towel in right away.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think, I don't know, it's almost, you were talking about like the confidence for the rest of the team earlier as well. And I think that's almost Treliving saying like, you know what, I think this is the final piece, and he's never found that goalie, I guess, during his time as the GM. And I think he thinks this is it, and this is what can push this team over the edge.
So how would you grade Brad Treliving's offseason moves thus far?
I'll give it a, to play it safe, I'll give it a B. I mean, there's definitely, like, there was rumors that, like, you know, the Flames might go after Pietrangelo or even Taylor Hall. I mean, we haven't heard of any of those conversations happening. But then again, you don't need to always go for that massive guy. I think we did go for our big pick with Jacob Markstrom, who was, you talk about, like, a top-five goaltender in the league, but he was also a top-five free agent this year. So I think that still in itself is a pretty big steal.
I don't want to be paying anybody $8-9 million. I don't.
Yeah, that's true. So
when I heard about that Ekman Larson.
Yeah, well, I guess, with Marks, I'm trying to just think without pulling up Cap Friendly here, but I think, is it Giordano or the Gaudreau-Monahan pairing that's our highest paid technically?
You know, I don't know. I think, isn't Tkachuk the highest paid now?
No, I think he's still below Monahan and Gaudreau for the moment, at least, if I'm not mistaken.
Good question. We haven't, as we both frantically
take a look here.
Take a look at Cap. What would we do without Cap Friendly, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty handy.
But you know, you look at cap space, and I look at the way we're set up. Well, yeah, Tkachuk's at 7. He's the highest.
Yeah. So, I mean, even, okay, yeah, take a look, I guess, at, there. So, $7 million for Tkachuk for the next, or let's just talk about this season. $7 million for Tkachuk, $6.75 for Gaudreau, $6.75 for Gio, and $6.375 for Monahan. And then you get your starting netminder who's probably going to take, if we play a full 82-game season, I don't know, maybe 55, 60 games even.
Probably.
So I'd say that's, you know, one thing that Treliving has done in the last few years is, like, when he does get a guy to sign, like, the only outlier I can see here is James Neal in terms of maybe a bad deal. But that would, you could also attribute that to, you know, Bill Peters just not using him maybe the way he should have been, and the emergence of Elias Lindholm there after that trade with Carolina.
Yeah, you look at the contracts that Brad Treliving has signed, and I give it a high, high grade because, I mean, the money, I think, you know, the Markstrom deal, a lot of some people criticize that, and I said, well, you're never going to get a guy like Jacob Markstrom unless you give a little bit to get, and I think $6 million is pretty fair when I look at Matt Murray's getting paid in Ottawa,
that's
and
what
I'm
I
like, holy crap,
that's what
I mean,
gonna say. That's, like, that's the argument right there. You know what? We're not paying Matt Murray $6.25 million.
You know, I thought he did pretty good. I thought when he got Tkachuk signed, I thought it was pretty good. And heck, back in the day, I thought the Gaudreau and Monahan signings were pretty darn good. So I've been pretty happy with Brad Treliving, and I get, my gut tells me that this is his last kick at the can, and if they things don't go well this year in Calgary, he'll be gone. And I would hate to see him go, and I hope things go really, really well. Jeff Ward has been named our new head coach, and the interim tag has been taken off. Your thoughts on that, and is he the best choice for head coach of the Flames?
See, now that's where I think we should have been putting maybe our money a little bit more even this season. As soon as Gerard Gallant was fired there from Vegas, I was on that bandwagon 100% of bring in Gallant, because you saw what he did even with a, you know, you could almost argue sometimes like just doesn't, I can't even think of the word right now, but just like doesn't matter Florida Panthers, right? And like they did pretty well. If I'm not mistaken, that was the year that they went to the playoffs, lost in the first round to the Islanders there.
Yep.
And then, you know, he gets fired there, and yeah, the taxi drive and
the whole
everything like that. And then he gets a chance to go again in Vegas, right? And he takes a team of guys who have never played together outside of Fleury and Neal, if I'm not mistaken, for that first that first iteration of the team, and is able to, you know, get them all working together to go to the Stanley Cup final in their first year against Washington there. So and even when he was fired, like the team wasn't doing bad. Like I thought the move was a little bit odd, honestly.
That was the craziest coach firing I think I can remember in my life, because I don't know, I've always been a Gallant fan and I really wanted him in Calgary too, but my gut also told me this ownership group wasn't going to pan out the money for a big coach who'd never done it before. And I just knew it wasn't going to happen, but I hoped and prayed every day. I'd flip Twitter open and say Gerard Gallant hired in Calgary. But anyways, we got Jeff Ward. I was very, very critical of quite a few decisions that he made this year. I do think the team likes him. I do think the team wants to work for him. So in that right, I guess I agree, but would like to, like you said, go out and get the Gallant. Now the $10 million question: should this core, i.e. Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, be altered?
Not yet.
Really?
Yeah, not yet. I am not on that Eric Francis boat whatsoever. He can get out of here for all I care.
I am so on it, and I'm not because of Eric Francis. Okay, well, all right, Nate, we get to argue a little bit here. Now, I want you to give me your reasoning for that, and then I want to see what you think of my reasoning.
It's not them individually necessarily, I guess, that, like, you know, like they're necessarily the problems. I think it's just, it's almost the problem of we have too much center depth. In a way that, like, you know, Gaudreau, maybe he needs a different, little bit of a higher end centerman to be able to work with him a bit better. But that's not to say that the Monahan Gaudreau pairing isn't good. I mean, we saw what they did a couple years ago with Elias Lindholm joining them. We know it's possible at this point. It's just trying to find what made that tick again. So I say, yeah, not just yet, but, you know, if maybe things don't pan out in the next, I'll say two seasons. I won't give it just one more.
Have to re-sign Gaudreau now next year. Do we re-sign him?
Next year, right.
I mean, do we re-sign this guy? And if we do, can we justify giving him more than what he's making now?
No, purely because of the flat cap for the next 3 years.
But then we're going to lose him.
So at the same time, like, I mean, I know players say it all the time, like, oh, like, I want to stay here and that sort of thing, but I do have the feeling that Gaudreau genuinely does want to stay here.
You do. See, I have the genuine feeling he doesn't. What's he supposed to say? If somebody asked him, I mean, you know, he had two more years in his contract, and he says, no, you know, I'm thinking I really want to be out of here when my UFA year comes. This town's going to crucify that guy.
Well, I think maybe later on because it would be after this season that we have to resign, you said, right?
No, yeah, so, he'll be a UFA after the end of the next one.
Oh, okay. But, so say this year doesn't work and it gets a little bit closer, then I think that's when you're going to start to notice when, you know, maybe if he wants to, right? Because the talk is going to change a little bit if he knows that he's coming up on it. So yeah. And if And if you start to figure that out, if Treliving's still around, you know, he's got to have those conversations with Johnny of, like, what are you thinking? And, like, get on that early. Don't leave it till the summer. That's one thing I think the Flames have done too often. It's kind of bit them in the ass is they just leave things too long. Like,
yeah.
You want to go way back to 2013 there with Kiprusoff. It was like, yeah, take the summer to figure it out. But when Kiprusoff decided he was going to retire, it was 2 weeks out from the preseason. And
you're
crap,
screwed.
Now we're screwed on goalies. So,
you know, but. And I hate – I mean, I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is an awful hockey player.
But, no, by no means.
But and no, I'm not naive, and yes, he scored 99 points, and that was wonderful and all. But I, and this maybe sounds arrogant or whatever, but, like, as a Flames guy, like, I appreciate us making the playoffs, but to me, just making the playoffs isn't going to cut it anymore. Like, I want to win a Stanley Cup. It's been a long time since we won a Stanley Cup. So, if Gaudreau, I ask the question to myself all the time, is Gaudreau the guy that's going to lead us to a Stanley Cup? And my answer is no. He disappears every playoffs. So I just think we'd be so much – I'm all about keeping Monahan. I think we have him maybe in a role where he's not a number one center. He's a number two center.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe –
Then who do you move out
Lindholm.
Of the second, third, and fourth lines? That's the issue.
No, I
that's
know.
That's what I was saying. It's like the center depth. Like, that's almost the problem is that it's – we have too much there.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah. I don't know if – yeah, and I don't know if you're going to have too much center depth because you know, one of those guys can go to the wings. I don't disagree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's true.
But I look at – I just – I don't know. Maybe I just got to burn my saddle over Gaudreau. And I feel like if you're going to be considered an elite player in the National Hockey League, you need to be elite in the playoffs too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of reversed like with Sam Bennett. I mean, Sam Bennett's just the freaking greatest player in the world in the playoffs. And in the regular season, he's junk. And I wish I could just get Sam Bennett to be three-quarters of his playoff self in the regular season, and I would pay the guy $7 million. I don't know. I've lost faith that we're going to get over the hump with Johnny Gaudreau. I think I'm all about keeping Monahan. I like Monahan. He frustrates me at times, but I don't know. I just want to win. I don't want to make the playoffs anymore. I want to win. I want to go on a hell of a long run again. That I don't know.
When COVID restrictions are lifted, we want the red mile back.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the restrictions and where we're going for next season. If you had to project, and I know this is an impossible question. This isn't even fair of me to ask. But if you had to, you know, project things now, when do we start? Do we have fans in the building? Can the league afford to play without fans? And where do we go with this mess?
Oh, man. I mean, Carter's the guy who's going in for accounting. That'd be more of a question for him, I think, in terms of the money aspect. And that's the thing. Like, the NHL being such a gate-driven league, it's going to have to start, obviously, without fans. Maybe not. And it all kind of – at least in Canada, yeah, it's going to be starting without fans, 100%. But maybe not – in the States, so there'll be a couple bucks coming in at least. On the bright side, Florida's going to have the same number of fans that they normally do anyway.
I was waiting for you to throw that one. Florida people hate me.
But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe fans, like, if they cut to, like, halfway through the season or that sort of thing, you feel it's a, I don't know, the idea I've heard is, like, a quarter capacity, and, yeah, you know those tickets are going to be high-priced, but if, say, they've been tossing around the ideas of, like, division realignment,
mm-hmm.
so you have a Canadian division, right?
How do you feel about that?
I love that idea.
I do, too.
Playing Canadian teams throughout the entire year.
Awesome.
And, well, even with the idea from, or like what the WHL is about to do, right? And they're doing the kind of division areas as well. So, you know, like the Manitoba and Saskatchewan teams play, the Alberta teams play. Like, say for the WHL, I'm from Medicine Hat originally, so okay. Big Tiger fan. And so I'm like, we're playing more than like the normal regular season games against the Hurricanes and the Hitmen. Let's go. I'm excited for it because it's going to be a playoff atmosphere throughout the entire regular season.
Yep.
So, 'cause, like, take a look at when we had those quick back-to-back kind of games, or not back-to-backs, but like within a couple weeks span against Edmonton there in January. Oh,
what if that would have been a Friday-Saturday night deal?
Would have been amazing, right?
It would have been, oh,
and that's,
God.
And if you do a Canadian division, that's what it's going to be all season, right? And you're going to have it with teams like Toronto, like Montreal and Ottawa, because you see those teams twice a year. But now you're going to be able to get those rivalries out of that too. So I think it's going to be really good, on top of the fact that with the Canadian division, they are going to be showing who is the best team in Canada.
Yes.
So it's going to be really fun if they do that, and great marketing tool, right? Like, just Sportsnet is going to be going off with it.
It's going to be, it's exciting. And I actually, the more and more I hear, the more I feel like it's probably going to be a reality too.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Well, Nate, thanks for joining the show. Always fun talking Flames hockey with you. Hope to have you on as kind of a regular this year. That would be fun to have you checking by and giving your opinion on Flames hockey.
Yeah, I'd love to be a part of that. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Well, hopefully we get to drop the puck soon. And, thanks again for coming on. And enjoy what is a weird time of year to have an offseason.
Thank you very much. You too.
Hello, bonjour, hello, hi, heya, and privet, hockey fans. Welcome to the EuroPuck Podcast, the show where two Brits talk all things European hockey as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. If you want to keep updated on all of the latest news, scores or standings from across the European hockey world, you want to get some insight from some very interesting guests discussing their stories with hockey and how the sport grows around in Europe in different interesting places, or if you want to keep updated with all of the leagues across Europe that are either playing, have been suspended, cancelled, delayed indefinitely, then do check out our latest episodes of the EuroPuck Podcast every Friday as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. We have a YouTube channel, the EuroPuck Podcast, and you can listen to us wherever else you get your podcasts. So check us out every Fridays, and we'll see you there, folks.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news and some signings to talk about. First one, we'll touch base on Josh Levo, former Vancouver Canuck. Yep, Canucks fans, you've heard that before. We are taking your whole damn roster. Who's next? Is it Hughes? Is it Pettersson? I don't know. But anyways, we had some depth with Josh Levo, signing him to a one-year contract on Saturday, the deal worth $875,000. The 27-year-old recorded 7 goals and 19 points in 36 games for the Canucks last season. He's got 169 career NHL games between Toronto and Vancouver. Levo will add some depth on the wing for us and a good signing. Flames also signed Dominic Simone to a one-year deal, $700,000. The 26-year-old, 190-pound forward, played last year with Pittsburgh. He's played actually the last 5 seasons with Pittsburgh. Last year played 64 games, 7 goals, 15 assists, 22 points. He's kind of a jack-of-all-trades, played in all situations. Kind of that versatile guy you really need to add depth. He is recovering from an off-season shoulder surgery, but should be ready to go for the season's start. On to the next signing. Flames signed Nikita Nesterov to a one-year $700,000 contract. This guy is a solid left-shot defenseman that plays on the right side, has spent his last 3 seasons in the KHL playing for CSKA Moscow. He does have 132 NHL games back in 2014-17. Tampa Bay and Montreal were the teams he played with. This guy was rumored to be going to the LA Kings. This guy has been an all-star everywhere he's been, has been a great, great player in the Continental Hockey League, and will definitely be a factor for the Flames' blue line next year. Hopefully his game transfers from the KHL to the NHL well. This was a good depth signing, and to get him at $700,000, he was rumored at a lot more money to LA last year. Hopefully this contract turns out to be a good one and solidifies that blue line like we've been trying to do all offseason. The second buyout window has come and gone for the Flames with no one being bought out, which really was no big surprise. The NHL did announce that there was a postponement for the 2021 Winter Classic in Minnesota and the 2021 All-Star Game. Those games have been nixed and We'll see on a rescheduling of those both in a later date. The American Hockey League is considering a temporary move of franchise to accommodate for an all-Canadian division. We talked a little bit last episode about a Canadian division in the National Hockey League, and with border situations and player transfers, the Flames need their American League team playing in a Canadian city so that we could transfer players back and forth and not have to go over the borders, which is impossible at this time. Time will tell with this one, depending on what the NHL decides about a one-year realignment of all Canadian teams. Boy, there's just so much up in the air. General managers met yesterday on the future and where we're going. Not a lot has come from that, with so much uncertainty in Canada and in the U.S. with the COVID-19 pandemic going on. Let's just hope that we, in the near future, get to watch pro hockey. And, it's hard right now with all the unknowns, but hopefully we'll get to it. But the American Hockey League is considering temporary moving of franchise.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, some big excitement news for next year. Hot Mic, we are going to be doing a Hot Mic Game of the Week next year. We will be doing a Flames game, a watch party with me. We'll talk Flames hockey throughout the whole show, throughout the whole game. Complain, cheer, do all those things. We'll have some giveaways, some prizes, all kinds of different things. That's coming next year on the Hot Mic Calgary Flames Game of the Week. Check out Flames Unfiltered on Instagram and Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Other new things. We also have a Flames Unfiltered fan line. You can call us. We'll chat with you. You can send us messages, questions, ideas. Record your rant on the pod, on the fan line, voicemail, and we'll get it put on the show. Call that number at 701-575-0077. And also make sure you get on to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review the show, subscribe, do all those good things. Well, this is the end of season one of Flames Unfiltered. It was interesting. It was long, way the hell longer than I expected it to be. It was a lot of fun. Had some weird stories. Had the Bill Peters firing, the Brody scare. Not sure, not so great regular season. We had a disappearing act in the playoffs after. We had to wait as another mini off season before we got to the bubble. We had a win over the Jets, which was great. And a weird, weird, heartbreaking loss to the Dallas Stars. That's all bad news we're putting behind us. We do not want to talk about that anymore. Because, boy, that series just... It still weighs on me. It still drives me crazy. It still keeps me up at night. I don't know. This team, though, I love the offseason moves. I love the changes. And I'm excited to see when this team gets back on the ice. So, what's up for the next show? We're going to take the month of November off. Don't freak out. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back the first week of December. Some new changes. We're adding video this year. I hope you enjoy that part of it. We're working on that during the month here, getting that all ready to go. And honestly, you know, just a ton of changes coming for next year. Hopefully, it makes for a better listening. And heck, now I can say viewing entertainment. Check out social media for the exciting updates as they get released. Relax and enjoy the break. I look forward to talking Flames hockey with you real soon. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're
you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.